This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Start off first in Cincinnati. And former 92.3 The Fan staffer James Rapine, who covers the Bengals for Sports Illustrated, allbengals.com, joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. James, is Carlos Dunlap as good as gone?
Yep, he's out.
Boom, out of here.
I'm surprised Mike Brown didn't say, hey, Andrew Berry, we'll send him home with you. But obviously he didn't do that. But yeah, he's as good as gone. It's just a matter of what they can get for him ahead of Tuesday's deadline.
Was Twitter the final straw putting a $6,000 square foot home up for sale?
I think that was the one that made teammates mad, because he does that as we're interviewing. So we're asking Tyler Boyd, and we're asking guys that, you know, obviously haven't seen it, explaining what's going on.
God. Typical and, Cincinnati media.
I know. We're so mean. But he deleted that. But here's the thing. When you delete something on social media, people still have the screenshot. So maybe Carlos learned that.
Twitter is a gun, man. You can't put the bullet back in. Once it's out, it's out.
All right, James, is any of this a reflection on the coach? I mean, you got an exciting rookie quarterback that some people continue to gush even more when he loses games more than the quarterback who wins the game and who just won Offensive Player of the Week at Baker Mayfield. So if you've got that, how could you have players bolting like this?
Yeah, I think that there's certainly some issues there. And what I would say, and I kind of wrote a column last week, kind of displaying or detailing some of the issues I think Taylor has had, and not just him, but the coaching staff in general, with communication. And that's where I think things went wrong with Carlos, too. And he's been willing to speak out about it and be really vocal about it and be really loud and throw a temper tantrum, which is going to get himself out of here. But I don't think it's just him. I do think there are some concerns there. With that said, I think that the coaching staff has kind of been able to, over the past week, get veterans to speak out, and whether veterans have done that on their own or whether they've talked to him, but there's been reports that, you know, he has support of the locker room and things like that. So I think he's trying to flip it and use this Dunlap distraction as a way to bring the guys together, but you can only do that so much, and they're 1-5-1. So at some point, I think you're going to see more unhappiness.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you, I wanted to ask you something else, but now I got to go further. So do you think there could be a significant risk that Zach Taylor is not retained after this season then?
I think it's certainly possible. And wow. Here's the hard part. Here's the hard part about this is we can speculate, right? And we can talk about it on the outside, but it depends on how Mike Brown looks at it and how Katie Blackburn looks at it. And they could say, oh, well, he's 1-5-1, but he lost by one possession twice to the Browns and tied the Eagles and lost by one possession to the Chargers and had a 21-point lead against the Colts. And we look at those things as, man, you should have won some of those games. But he might look at him as, Zach Taylor's close. So that's the tough part. And so I think it is possible. But if he ends up winning 4 or 5 games, then I also think, Joe Burrow likes him, which I think is the case. I think there is certainly a scenario where he comes back, and that's probably the most likely scenario today if we're speculating about 2022 or 2021, rather.
James, when you are watching Joe Burrow, obviously we were talking about Baker mostly on Monday. Joe Burrow was fantastic in that game. Is it just assumed he's going to be a star now in Cincinnati? Or have they even waited? Have they anointed him as such?
Yeah, absolutely. It feels a lot like, you know, Cleveland would have in 18, where, all right, we got our guy, let's roll. And everyone knows the team isn't ready, and there's questions about the coach like we talked about, but the team certainly isn't ready. The talent isn't there on the offensive line. The defense made Phillip Rivers look like it was 08, and then Baker Mayfield look like he's a Hall of Famer, right? So I think that there are certainly deficiencies there. But as far as Burrow's concerned, I think everyone expects him to play at a high level mostly every week already, which is sort of crazy, and I think he's exceeded everyone's expectations.
Something else you wrote about at Sports Illustrated, I want to support you in it, is the Bengals going after Quinnen Williams. He is starting to emerge as a really good football player. He was number 3 overall just last year. Do you think the Bengals are seriously interested in him? I know that you think they should be, and I agree with you.
I think that they should at least make a call. I don't know how interested the Jets are in moving him. Knowing the Bengals, it's always no when it comes to trades. That, you know, even a guy like Dunlap, there's some in town that think that they might just release him instead of take, you know, a 7th-round pick or something like that. They just don't do in-season trades. I mean, outside of the almost A.J. McCarron trade a few years ago, I can't think of really the last one that they've had at the deadline. So I don't think they're going to be entirely active. But, yeah, Quinnen Williams is a guy. He probably fits on any roster, right? I mean, the Browns should call. The Ravens should probably call. If the Jets are that stupid, you might as well take advantage of it.
All right, James Rapine, Sports Illustrated down in Cincinnati. I'll tell you what, if they want to release Carlos Dunlap, I'd love to drive down and go pick him up there. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, where they are riding high with the 6-0 Pittsburgh Steelers. We regret to say a tight game, though, against Tennessee. And I had said this, Chris. Now, a Pony actually agreed with me. I want to see if you do. Where Ben Roethlisberger on Sunday, we saw new Ben in the first half, and boy, we saw old Ben in the second half. And I mean by old Ben, the type of Ben that likes to turn the ball over, take chances, and really put the Steelers at a disadvantage.
It was his worst game of the season, I thought, and that was weird. That's a weird thing to admit, Ken, because it is like his first drive was sublime. So Ron Cook, who hosts our midday show, said it was the best he's ever seen him play that first drive of the game. You know what was really troubling about it, too? The second half was really sloppy. Through 24 passes, he was throwing picks. That pass before the end of the first half seemed to put him on a bad path. And then what drove me nuts, he has, like, not won me over, but he has completely surprised me this year through 5 games, Roethlisberger, by being real self-effacing and critical of his own play, even as they've been winning, and he's been pretty efficient. His stats have been good. His stats are terrible after this game, 3 picks, everything else. And it was back to old defiant Ben Roethlisberger about, why is everybody mad? I'll throw that pass to Smith-Schuster if he's being covered by a linebacker every time, regardless of two secondary guys are closing in on him in the end zone. So it's not just that he played bad in the second half. It's that he didn't seem to have any kind of reflection on, maybe this wasn't necessary up 24-7 at the half for me to try to do all this hero ball stuff.
Muller, I want to talk about the running game for the Steelers, because I don't know that they can just sit back there and hand the ball off to James Conner. It seems like everything they do is out of a weird formation, or it's out of the shotgun, draw plays, those end-arounds. But when it comes down to it, in a big spot at the end of the season, maybe in a week 17 with a lot up for grabs, maybe a playoff game, can they just go back there and hand the ball off, or do they have to be gimmicky?
Well, I mean, I don't know how many teams in the NFL realistically can just go back there and hand the ball off. I think you guys, when you're healthy, when everybody is accounted for offensively, are one of the few that can probably do it. Tennessee theoretically can, although the Steelers stopped them. That jet sweep stuff you're seeing is Matt Canada's influence. He's the quarterback's coach, but what he really is the OC in waiting here. When Pitt was actually entertaining a couple years ago in college football, they were scoring a ton of points, and Canada was doing a lot of that window dressing and jet sweep motion and stuff like that. Connor, for his part, and the thing about that Canada offense at Pitt was that it was actually very much a power running game. Connor would line up and get a ton of straight-ahead carries. He's obviously going against tougher competition now. The weird thing is, as you ask that question, I am higher on James Connor and the way he's been running the football these last couple of weeks than I have been since 2018. I don't know if they can just line up and run at people, But for Connor's part, just do I have confidence in him to pick up some tough yards when needed? The answer is actually yes, because he's looked fresh, he's looked good, and I have no earthly idea why they didn't give him the ball more in the second half against Tennessee.
Robert Spillane's more than willing to run into somebody. In coverage, though, he got caught with his pants down by Ryan Tannehill on a touchdown pass, leaving his zone. Are there any ideas, I'm sure there are by fans and by you guys, for trades on that defense? Do you guys believe that the Steelers will make a trade to help out that defense here over the next week?
Well, I mean, there's precedent now, right, with last year, the Minka deal. I mean, so you can't just say, oh, they're the Steelers, they never do it. Like, I heard James talking about, oh, they're the Bengals, they never make in-season trades. We said that about the Steelers till Minka came here last year. I think that his teammates love him. I think the coaches generally love him. Does that love translate to belief that he can handle the responsibilities in pass coverage? I think that's another story. I think the Ravens are just going to be a very difficult test for him with the way they like to play. What I would say as far as a trade is, if the right guy is out there, I think the Steelers are making calls to try to find that right guy, but I don't think they feel compelled right now like they have to make a deal. I mean, Avery Williamson, how about, like, I thought about this. If they wanted to take a huge risk on a talented guy, a guy that has washed out of the NFL essentially, Darren Lee, somebody that's a first-round talent, somebody that had a lot of issues, but somebody that can absolutely play. I wouldn't be averse, and I think I'm in the minority in Pittsburgh on that, at trying to take a complete flyer on a guy like that where you don't have to give up anything, and if it doesn't work out, you cut him loose, see you later, thanks for playing.
Why did you rip me for saying incubation period for Baker Mayfield?
No,
I think that didn't get back to me.
Funny.
Oh, I heard you got loud about it.
Extremely funny. Oh, I did. Incubation period. What are you talking about, Ken?
Because you don't even know. First off, what are you talking about?
When you're doing virology or you're doing bacteria, you're trying to make like the new penicillin, you talk about an incubation period, or we talk about it with this stupid COVID stuff
that we've got to all deal with. Whoa, stupid COVID stuff.
Wow.
You don't believe in COVID.
Wow.
216-578-0092.
Talk about Justin Turner. Mueller, what do you think?
Wow, what do you think of Justin Turner there, Chris?
What do you think there, buddy? A complete boob. I think he's a boob. I think
doesn't
it's
sound
very
like it.
Real.
I
think,
Corona, bro.
Backpedal. Backpedal there.
Oh,
huh?
No,
what do you
no,
want?
No. When I say stupid Corona, I mean the fact that nobody in this country can get their head out of their rear end long enough to actually do what they're told about masks. Listen, pal, don't misrepresent me.
Walk
I'm the big token lib on my show.
Walk it back. Chris Travis, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Incubation period, by the way. I'm talking about, see, if you would listen to the show on a regular basis, which it seems like the rest of your fan base does out there in Pittsburgh. I think we have higher ratings than anything on your station out there, is that you guys are looking at this from a different perspective. You know damn well you have to put Baker back in the incubation period to get the best out of him, like we saw this week against the Bengals.
I think what I'll be serious here for a moment, although Chris Travis is going to possibly end these weekly hits by you saying that, man. You know, let's fire that guy into the sun, first of all. Anyway, I do think there's some truth to it that Mayfield is better because he hasn't developed enough yet as a quarterback to have like sort of the cachet that the best guys in the league have. I do think there's some truth to the notion that no Beckham might be better for him because he just doesn't feel that constant buzzing pressure in the back of his mind. I've got to get this dude the ball. I've got to get this dude the ball. I've got to get this dude the ball. I think you saw that against Cincy. Now, they stink on defense. Let's not kid ourselves, but I absolutely think there's some truth and credence to the notion that when he doesn't feel like he has to target one guy, especially early in the game, it can really help him out.
Chris Mueller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Well, you hear an outsider's perspective on Baker Mayfield. Let's go to the team, or let's go to the city that Pittsburgh's playing this week. We go to Bob Haney at 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, one half of Vinny and Haney. First off, Bob, it seems that some people just aren't excited about any performance that Lamar Jackson does. I know we've kind of talked to you about this before, just with the Ravens in general, but some people are kind of wondering about Lamar Jackson as a quarterback and if he's taken a step back. Do you believe he's taken a step back this year?
Accuracy-wise, yes. His last four games, the accuracy has been below 60%. But if you look at his numbers through six games last year compared to this season, they're actually kind of similar. It was that Seattle game on the road last year where they won, and he talked Harbaugh into going for it on fourth down where they kind of took off like a rocket after that. But there is a concern for sure that he's not incorporating more than just two receivers into the pass offense, Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews. And we'll see how the post-bye Ravens offense looks against arguably, you know, the best all-around defense in football right now in the Steelers.
Was Lamar really that banged up? I know he didn't practice much the week of the Bengals game and didn't look great in that game against that really bad defense. Is he now ready to roll? And this is obviously a huge one.
Yeah, they haven't even talked about the knee since that week against Cincinnati. He got sick, too. He missed that Thursday practice with a stomach virus, so that was more about illness. I believe a friend of his was murdered in Florida as well, as he referenced after that game, so he had a lot going on his mind. But his knee has not been a topic of discussion for at least 3 weeks. So he looks healthy.
Bob Haney with us on the –
oh,
go.
I was just wondering, because obviously the big games has been the bugaboo for Baltimore, and I hate to say that considering they won all those big games for the regular season last year, but we all know what happened in the playoff game and then what happened against the Chiefs. So are they putting a ton of pressure on themselves, or are they just acting in the locker room like, oh, no big deal, it's just like
Well, Harbs is kind of downplaying it, as you would expect, because if he's panicking, then his team's going to panic. But, oh, that's a narrative here in Baltimore for sure. I mean, the San Diego playoff game 2 years ago, Lamar's rookie year, they laid the egg against the Titans, and you mentioned that Kansas City, where that game wasn't even as close as the final score would indicate. In the big games, especially at home, they've come up short here as of late. When they fall behind by more than 10 points, stick a fork in them, they're done. Oh, and that is definitely a topic of conversation. That's why the Steelers game is a litmus test game for them, because if they can pass it, because they failed miserably against the Chiefs, then, all right, we might want to reestablish them as true contenders to get to the Super Bowl. If they lose, then you're looking at them being a notch below Kansas City, Pittsburgh, or whoever else in the AFC right now. So it's a much bigger game for the Ravens than it is for Pittsburgh, I would think.
Dez Bryant to the practice squad. Are we going to see him before too long on the actual roster? Do we think he has a ton left?
Yeah, they got to work him in slowly. The reason Dez Bryant is here is because Miles Boykin's not getting it done. I'm expecting to see more of Devin Duvernay, the rookie out of Texas, incorporated into the pass offense as well. It's been great returning kicks, but I would expect Dez maybe against the Colts, if not after that against New England. But yeah, Dez Bryant's going to be an option here eventually. Now, how much left he has in the tank? He hasn't played, 3 years? Nobody really knows, but the fact that they're bringing him in speaks volumes about what they think about the other receivers they have on the roster outside of Andrews and Brown.
Should Browns fans root for the Ravens or the Steelers this weekend?
Well, you've lost to both of them, so
well, we know that. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't want to bring that up.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Convincingly, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I would go ahead and, if I'm the Browns, I'm rooting for the Ravens, because if Pittsburgh wins, then they're two games up on everybody. So the Ravens win, it kind of levels it out just a little bit.
All right, Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. We almost went back-to-back weeks with Sweet Chin Music for guests during around the AFC North.
Kenny Kidd is shaking his head over there, and I think he's got the same exact thought that I do.
What?
I'm not rooting for the Ravens. I'm not rooting for the Steelers.
Oh, you're not rooting for either.
I'm not rooting
Told
for
you.
Either.
What did I tell you
you're
yesterday?
You're rooting for the
you
Meteor.
Yesterday.
What did I tell you
You're
yesterday?
Rooting for COVID this week.
Just I voted
where's,
for
Where's this
Weezy.
Game? Is it in Pittsburgh or is it in Baltimore?
Does it even
Careful
matter these days?
Matter.
Careful.
If it's in Pittsburgh, I'm rooting for Bane.
Okay. That's
you should just quit your job running the board and move into Twitter.
It is in Baltimore.
And live with everyone there.
They are at Baltimore, by the way. They're at Baltimore.
I'm rooting for a tie.
Well, no, I think doesn't a tie,
a tie
mess
hurt
with us?
You, according to Ken, because it's as good as a win.
Is his reasoning?
Everybody wins if it ties.
No. We got to come back and talk about this.
I said it only hurts. It doesn't hurt the team that got the tie,
Shut
unless
up.
Somebody else gets
to,
more wins than you.
Trying to make it better.
It was right.
No,
I can't make anything
that
right. That's more right. It's more right.
Rehashing old
okay.
stuff.
We are not doing that.
I'm rehashing old correct stuff. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
that's what I'm doing.
Let's do bring on the Yankees next. No, listen. I'm telling you, when we come back, Kenny. I'm telling you why I'm actually rooting big time for the hated Pittsburgh Steelers.
Can't do it. Oh,
that and the nonchalance, the flat-out disrespect. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.